You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
To the gap. And that'll do it.
You hear it. It's great. The vibes are great. Playing some good baseball. You just got to keep it going and keep turning these good days into even better days for the future to come. And just kind of keep controlling what we're controlling and keep moving forward.
And the pitching keeps us in the game, right? I mean, Cole kept a really good lineup to three runs, and then they didn't score again. So it gives us a chance to win. I mean, if you're clawing back and unable to keep them down, it makes it really tough.
This defense, you know, last year we were relentless, but like this year, I imagine it being 10 times more. You know, this dude's, you know, hungrier now than they were last year. I know myself, I still feel like I got a chip on my shoulder. I still feel like I got something to prove out there.
And now, already buying his World Series tickets, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a cloudy but still warm. No griping, no complaining. It's still a beautiful spring day from a temperature standpoint. And the sunshine wouldn't be cool if it was sunny all the time, right?
Yes.
So, soak it up, people.
Hell yeah.
Enjoy a few clouds. We've got a big program for you today. By the way, I'll remind you tomorrow, we're going to be over at Nick and Jake's for the opening of the Masters. All 4 days, they've got all kinds of specials going on at the Masters, plus all the traditional fare, all the traditional eats, treats. They've got drink specials. I'm going to be giving away a beautiful golf bag. It's at Nick and Jake's. Will be, of course, all of the specials are good at all three Nick and Jake's. We'll be over there tomorrow. So if you're a big golf fan, if you love the Masters, the place to be tomorrow will be Nick and Jake's. We will see you there. Coming up today, we'll play the feud. Todd Lebo out today. So I hope you're ready, big boy. I hope you're ready, kiddo. You're going to play the feud.
I'm ready.
You are?
Yes, sir.
He seems ready. It's quiet confidence.
He's quiet all the time.
He's not. Yeah, but he's. This is a.
He's not a hermit.
Confident.
He doesn't find a space confidence. Where no one is and hide there.
Yeah.
But he's. He's always.
Yeah.
Quiet.
But this is a confident quiet.
He's taking it all in.
He's observing.
He's not scared.
Okay. I'm going to find out. Do we make the listener pick me or Curtis? Or do we think Curtis's poor performances in the past, Adam, render him no better than jockey his first go-round of the feud, and therefore the listener should have whoever they want to choose from?
Oh, listeners should always choose.
The defending champion, didn't we win last night, I think?
I wasn't here. Was I? Was I here for it?
Wednesday?
I don't know. I've been out a lot.
Pretty sure I was in.
We didn't do it last week.
So 2 weeks ago, the last time we did it, we won. Pretty sure.
Let's go to the scorecard.
Because the wins are rare.
It was new notebook day on Wednesday.
Convenient.
I don't have the past scorecard. I definitely won.
Okay.
I must have been on your team. We'll go with that.
It was me and Todrick.
No chance.
Yep. Pretty sure. Because it didn't happen very often. So you remember, you don't eat very often. You remember the last meal you had. Oh, yeah, it was definitely 2 weeks ago.
Sam McDowell will be with us in the 4 o'clock hour.
He will.
Not on schedule, but better late than never.
Saw him last night.
I don't remember what the hell happened on that, but he's here today. So rejoice. And Blair Kirchhoff is in early. Kiss ass. Coming in all day early.
What's 23 hours
early, Blair is. Blair in the 5 o'clock hour. Guess somebody's bucking for a promotion, huh?
I think so.
We'll talk to Blair. It's a good time to talk to Blair.
Two of the best columnists the city's ever seen.
Yes.
Back to back.
I would agree. Back to back here in the program. All right. We got a lot of ground we want to cover. I'll open the phone lines because Adam's not capable. 913-3-810-810, the phone number. 913-3-810-810. By the way, he does not look like a man who wants to be messed with today.
No, this is just my concentrated look.
Okay.
Not constipated, concentrated.
I'll take it.
Either way.
Royals baseball, people. It's a fever. Have you caught it?
I think some people have. Now, there were only 11,000 at the ballpark last night, so.
They haven't caught it yet.
But they keep doing this.
When will the fans catch it, Curtis? What is this ball club have to do to get you people to embrace the second-place Kansas City Royals that are only one game behind the Cleveland Guardians? They're ahead of the Minnesota Twins by three games, who everybody picked to win this division. They're tied with the Tigers, who was everybody's pick to be the sleeper in the division. And they're a game behind the Guardians. They're playing 636 baseball, which if you do that for 162 games, Curtis,
that
puts
would
you on
be
pace for what?
636 should put you at 103 wins. Exactly.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
103.032.
Yes.
So for a bunch of people declaring we don't want the Royals to leave Kauffman, they ain't showing up to Kauffman.
Yeah, really. I just know 102 and 60 is 630, and it's about 6 points every win.
Adam, they don't know where to park.
Yeah, right. Where the hell am I going to park out there?
They're confused now. Do I park downtown and ride share over? How does this work? They're waiting for the Royals to release their parking plan.
Yep. That's the number one deal.
No, when is it? I know what everyone's going, when school's out.
That'll help. But I think if you're going to see one before that, it would be, let's see, they're on the road. If they go on the road, now they have two more here against Houston, and they go on the road for seven, I think. They come back, and they're five or six games over. I think you're going to start seeing people showing up. I think they need one more little streak of good baseball on the road to come back. Sometime by the end of the month, I think you'll start to see 11,000 become 14, maybe 15. But it might take a little bit, but I do understand why people aren't. Hey, we've had a little stretch here. That's nice.
Well, it's 10 games. What was it they did in 21, 16 and 8?
Yeah.
And you know, we pointed out, you know, you're like, oh my God, when they were two games over 500 at 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how far back do you have to go? Well, really, just the beginning of 22, they were 2-0.
Right.
But how about 10 games in? Well, 10 games in, you go back to June 5th of 21, where they were falling down from a big start, but they were still two games over 500. On June 5th of 21, that shocked me. I had completely forgotten that they got off to a good start in 21. But if your memory's better than mine, they don't all blur together, then maybe you remember, and so you're not buying in. Because in 21, they got off to a good start.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the attendances, and we were just coming out of COVID. The vaccine had just been put out, I think, in the month before the season began, so or a couple months. So it's hard to tell when you're seeing 6,000 and 7,000 people at games. 16,000 on May 7th when they were 16
and
21 when they were 16 and 15. It was 17,000 for Detroit in May. And they started seeing them creep up, 18. Oh, that's at Minnesota.
I'm seeing one with the Royals.
22, 21.
May 3rd, the Royals were 16 and 10, hosting Cleveland. Now, it was a Monday, bear that in mind. 6,900 people. And that was a month into a 16 and 10 start.
I think when they're down,
I think
11
people
were
still
is
not
usually
going
the,
places because.
Yeah, I think 11 is usually the bottom. I agree with Curtis. I think 21's a tough one to comp the attendance for. So, I mean, I go back before all that.
I'm trying to think, what 2011, they kind of flirted with 500 till about Memorial Day, and then 09, they were like, they started 18 and 11, plus you had the added incentive of Greinke.
It looks like the 13. Win percentage high water mark was 14-7. They never got more than 7 over that year. They were there at 14-7, 15-8, and 16-9. And then fell back to 500, never to go above again. They got to 500, got back to 3 over, hit 500 at 29-29, never to get back to it. Once they fell below there, at 29 and 30, 31, 30 and 31, so on and so forth, they started digging the hole.
Looking at 13, coming off a 90 loss season, maybe there's some trying to maybe find some.
Okay.
So they were all the first six games there on the road, they came home 3-3, 40,000 for opening day against Minnesota, then 11-7, 10, 13, then on a Saturday, Toronto in town, 21, 29 on a Sunday, and then another six game road trip. They came back on That's where it must have been. It must have been a rainout on a Friday for a weekend series. 19,000. At that point, they were. They came home 11-8. 19, 22, 21. And then back into the weekday schedule, 14, 13, 11. And 5. They were still 15-10 on Wednesday, May 1st. There was 11-5. So they were still getting them in the weekends, but not much more than 11 or 12,000
in the
weekdays.
And they had the Shields. I mean, now they made some additions this off season, but none as big as James Shields.
Yeah.
It's clear that the preseason sales are important. You know, walk-up crowd is good, but if you already have a ticket, you're not setting it on fire. You're certainly not doing it. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's an old term. For you young kids, tickets used to be paper. We used to get them in the mail. You used to have to go pick them up. You'd have to buy them somewhere. Then you'd have to show them to a guy, and he would tear it.
And it'd be awesome.
And he'd give you part of it.
And you keep that for the rest of your life.
So the term lighting the ticket on fire comes from the days of when tickets were tickets.
People looking for the ticket lighting app on their phone. How do I light my tickets on fire?
Yeah, whenever you don't use a ticket on the new apps, it should go, show a little flame.
Yes.
So just burning and going away. But like I asked the question, you know, when will you buy in? I think people are buying in. They're just not going to physically buy in.
Yeah.
Till I think at least when the kids get out of school.
This is the first time that I put out my morning, hey, what do you want us to talk about today? Any questions? And I got hit with three or four immediate. Royals, man. It's nice to. Someone last night said, who followed me all this, and said, it's nice to have a team that's worth tweeting about. So
I agree.
They're coming around in that form.
Go ahead.
Well, no, that's always the biggest barometer to me is when you're measuring a baseball team is how much discussion is about the in-game decision-making. Because last year with Quintero.
None last year. There was none.
Yeah.
And three weeks in, none were done.
And now I think granted, it's very early in the season. But I think that's the barometer. Last year, nobody cared what moves Quintero was making. They were headlong, you know, they were falling toward a 50-win season.
If you have a scorecard, a completed scorecard, hell, I'll give you credit for six innings. Quality scorecard, right? You got six innings in. From 2023, I'm impressed. I commend you. And I'd like to talk to you about hobbies, okay? Some that you need to get.
Shot a clink scale out of nowhere.
Danny wasn't scoring last year. I guarantee
he wasn't.
His and so on was from the get go. They were 1-6 to start.
Yeah,
and at one point they're 4-16. You're like, okay, that's it. We're toast.
Yeah, but we're the team's playing competitive baseball. And so last night, you know, did anybody check out at 3-0? I did not.
Nope.
I didn't like Cole Reagans getting hit as much as he was getting hit, but he managed to string him along. He managed to fight through five. I'll say this. I think the most encouraging thing about last night is if those are the bad games for Cole Reagans, this is what an ace looks like.
Yep.
I mean, that is as encouraging a sign as you can see that when a guy doesn't have it, and I know Matt Quatrero said afterwards, well, you know, he got that question. Isn't it encouraging to see that, well, you know, when he doesn't have his best stuff, I thought he has best stuff. You know, that's just a great lineup. Well, I appreciate complimenting your opponent. But an ace, and that's what we think Cole Reagans has a chance to be. If we're going to talk about being in the voting for Cy Young, which was the conversation with some people, and certainly he was brilliant in stretches for that, your bad games, right? Like Danny Duffy, he's already been better for more consistent time, I think, than Danny Duffy. Now, maybe I'm not giving Danny credit for that great stretch he had when he popped back into the rotation and took off and springboarded him to the big contract. Danny Duffy was better than people remember in this town. He's a very good, very good. Not great, but a very good pitcher. All right? But I think we've already kind of seen more, and we've got less body of work to drag on what we think the ceiling is.
Yeah.
But an ace, a Cy Young vote getter, when he has his best stuff, he doesn't get hit like that. Like, you don't coincidentally put the bat on the ball. No one can do anything against a Cy Young pitcher when he's got his best stuff. So, like I said, GMs, coaches, managers, they're not paid to tell you exactly the truth. They're paid to say what's best for the ball club. And I think Matt Quatrero's like, we don't need to go talking smack. We're not Dan Hurley yet, sitting on one world championship with a ball club that I know can't be beat. That was Dan Hurley. Pretty cocky in a lot of the things that he said this year. I think Matt Quatrero sees a lot of positive signs, but knows we don't need to necessarily wake everybody up about us.
Yeah.
But so I'll say this. I don't believe that was his best stuff.
No.
And I think it's an amazing it's incredibly encouraging to see that, because I think it does mean exactly that. Aces, I judge by their worst days. James Shields would fight through six with five runs, and he wouldn't blow up the bullpen. You know, this was one of those days.
Yeah, he allowed 11 base runners, and all of them were in the first four innings. And he got no double plays from his defense. And the, you look at the left on base, inning by inning, two, 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 two. There were two guys on. There was someone in scoring position with two outs in every inning, and he left them right there. And that's the kind of game where a fairly young, not a, he's not a kid, but a pitcher like Reagan's, who's still trying to find himself, if he's susceptible to oftentimes being tripped up by things, that's the kind of game that gets completely away from him. Because so many guys were on, and he wasn't getting much help defensively. That's the kind of game that falls apart, and it didn't. I think that finding his way through all of that and walking out of there, and he was 1-2-3 in the fifth with a strikeout, and the bullpen, you know, took it from there. But I think a very reassuring, because it's great to go out and just have great stuff and blow teams away. But to be have the game he had last night against that lineup and still walk away with three runs on the board after five is pretty good.
Clearly, I'm still not great on knowing when someone's done making the point. Sorry about that, Curtis.
Well, I'm also not good in knowing when I'm done making the point. Well, anyway. I occasionally continue. Oh, wait, I had five more things I wanted to say.
Regardless, but to kind of an extreme case on the other side of this coin is the team they're playing right now. Now, the Astros sort of had a weird thing going on Monday. They were supposed to be starting Valdez. They had to call up some kid from AAA. Now, you don't expect a lot of that, you know, when you're putting in a start like that. But that kid got allowed five runs through one out. And so their bullpen was torched coming into this series. And what you saw last night is exactly why it's important to have guys like this. So you don't ever, or at least you minimize the amount of games you have like that, where you're calling somebody in from the bullpen after one out or even one inning.
We talked about it with one of the games against, was it the Sunday game against the White Sox? Down 3-0,
yeah,
Renfro,
back-to-back.
A bloop and a blast, Renfro for a homer, and later on MJ Melendez with the home run to take the lead. They are able to hold the line even when they're not dominant. It's one thing that when everything's going your way that you play good ball. It's another thing when it's not going your way and you can hang in the fight. And sometimes you don't get a win. But I'll go back to what the Giants manager, twin center fielder,
yeah.
Who 2 years
Gabe
ago,
Kapler.
Gabe Kapler, yeah, with the Tigers. I'm getting confused with
the beast.
Yeah. Gabe Kapler said when he announced, listen, like, we're going to steal, we're going to do everything because we want to wear your bullpen out. So we're going to try to score more runs. We're going to do everything we can to wear you out as much as we can, even when we're up. We're not adhering to the old school baseball rules. And I hope the Royals don't either, because what last night could have been, even if they don't come back and win, is make the Astros work for it.
Yep.
Because the more you wear them out in game one, the harder it'll be for them to have everything they need in games two and three. So this is a really professional win. Against. I get it. The Astros aren't a team that's high in the standings. We all know what the talent is. They've got an MVP candidate in left. They've got a former number two overall pick at third base. They've got, you know, talent.
Who's
they've
been
got
an MVP candidate?
They got a guy who's going to get a $200 million contract in the outfield. They've got, like, at least $200 million. I don't even know what Kyle Tucker's going to get. You know, this is a really good team. And they're not going to be horrible. They may not be as good as they've been. It's been an incredible run. But the Astros are a good team, and you came back on them.
I'll say the same thing I said about the flip side of it, running out of sweeping a team like the White Sox. I said this Monday, that's the way. If the 2015 Royals had done that, you'd say that's what a really good team does to a really bad team. They sweep them, and they have one game where they rout, and they have one game where they come from behind. They have two other games where they kind of do what they do. Last night was the same way. If the 2015 Royals won that game last night, you'd say, what a professional outing. Their starters stayed in the game. The bats came alive. Their bullpen shut things down. That's what a good team does on a night when their starting pitcher doesn't have it. They find a way to win. That's five straight games that they've won in the kind of fashion that if they were a previous vintage Royals team, we'd be giving them all the praise. I think we should give them all the praise right now.
One of the things I want to say before we take a break, we'll go to the phones. I know, Brad, you're going to lead us off. 913-3810-810. The bullpen, five shutout innings, and now, what, 18 straight innings?
From four different pitchers last night. And he kept running them out there, and they kept getting the job done. No walks. It's pretty good.
I mean, the Russell Crowe line, are you not entertained?
Yes.
Like, maybe that's not the perfect one, but are you not impressed? Because I'm impressed. Because that was a professional big league win. Yep. That's how good teams do it. And
maybe they found the closer. Who knows?
Yeah. Listen, I'm not MacArthur.
He dropped his ERA to 5.40 on the year.
Right, because his first three times he gave up runs, first three times out. All along I said if they're going to be the surprise team that wins 88 games and wins this division, let alone the 103 they're on pace for, but if they're going to be that team, it's going to be the young guys. Well, Michael Garcia has 10 RBI, right? Kyle Isbell is consistently getting on base. And by the way, Matt Cotchero is using him in spots. Darren Blanco is the best pinch base runner in baseball. He's got five steals on the year already.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a base running weapon.
Big
Bobby Wood Jr. is taking, at least early on, another step into being a legit MVP candidate. MJ Melendez is hitting. MacArthur has settled down and is looking like a closer. It's either going to be him or McMillan coming down the stretch. If they were going to have a dominant pen, one of those guys is going to have to push Will Smith out of there. Well, Will Smith kind of got out of the way, but MacArthur has answered the call. And so, yeah, that's the encouraging part. They're not getting it done because Salvi's red hot, although Salvi's being Salvi. Mm-hmm. Another big hit last night. But it's not like Salvi's insane. My God, Salvi's already got 8 home runs in the first 11 games. That's not what we're looking at. And, by the way, Vinny Pascatino hasn't done much of anything other than hit a ball deep and hustle, which was big.
Which, that goes back to...
I'm talking about the Bregman overthrow. If people aren't picking up on it, that's how the game got tied.
Yep.
That sort of goes back to the other side of the if factor. You come into a season, you're probably going to have a player, maybe because of injury, maybe for whatever reason, who doesn't perform up to what you thought he might do. And they're overcoming that. Good teams, I think, overcome less than stellar, maybe even disappointing performances from players. Every team does.
Sure.
It's pretty impressive. If you're not buying in, what the hell is it going to take to get you to buy in? And I'm not, buy tickets when you can and when it fits. It's up to the Royals to put together a really good season and have another good offseason and inspire you to buy a bunch of tickets during the offseason because you want to make sure you don't miss it. That is what will cure the attendance woes. So I don't at all gauge the fan interest in this ball club just by the turnstile. I also think that the fans obviously didn't like the stadium initiative, and they may be a little pissed there. There may be a little bit, the ones that don't want to leave Kauffman Stadium or the ones that didn't like the plan. There might be some echoes of that. But keep playing baseball like this, it's going to start filling up. 913-3810-810. We heard from Michael Dana today. We want to get into that. That's a topic we want to cover here where the Chiefs defensive line is going. 913-3810-810. We say it all the time. Royals, Chiefs, Sporting, K-State, Missouri, KU. Always a topic here in the program. You can grab a phone line right now. 913-3810-810. How about this? I got some friends that are privy to college basketball talkings.
Mm-hmm.
Some rumblings. Mm-hmm. Tell me that they believe Rick Pitino met with Kentucky 3 days ago.
Wow.
Could you imagine?
That'd be amazing.
I mean, it's not like, I think everybody had that, well, would they go back to Patino? Like,
Bill Snyder?
Yeah, I mean,
a little different scenario. Like, you can go home again. It was only 3 years, not 25.
I was asking about Dan Hurley, and I said, what's the deal? And, like, hey, already making $5 million and going to get a new deal. Everyone, you know, the Hurley family thinks UConn's as good a job as Kentucky. I'm like, well, what if the rumblings of offering him $12 million per are true?
It would take a lot, because he can never be at Kentucky what he is at UConn, because the two titles he's won,
he could be,
it are, would just, are on his register.
Yeah, it would just need him to win.
He'd
four.
Have to win. Yeah. But he didn't have to win anymore to be who he is at UConn. You know, just getting close and being there, those count. The minute he leaves that place, those championships don't mean anything to the fan base he goes to.
Agreed.
And I want more. So it isn't just the money, but that's the one place I could see someone going, you know what? Yeah, I could. I maybe can step it up a little bit, but he's the one guy I think could just say, "I'll never be. I'm the king of Storrs, Connecticut.
No.
Of a program that has 6 national championships. I'm on the Hall of Fame banner. Why would I go anywhere else?"
Yeah, it's money would be the answer.
Yeah, it'd have to be so much of it.
And I don't know. $12 million.
That'd be enough. But would $10 million do it? $9 million. I don't know.
Depends on what UConn is willing to spend.
Yeah.
And in the long run, could you get, I mean, at $4 million less a year at UConn, could they love you enough that you stay long enough that in the long run you make more money there anyway?
Yeah. If you go for $12 million, what kind of contract do you have? How much are you guaranteed if they blow you out in 3 years?
Well, most of the coaches' contracts are fully guaranteed now. So, I mean, it's about the buyout to get you to not leave for more money. It's about all they negotiate on, because everybody's caddy, or it's 80% of what's left on your deal. So
it's unbelievable how much money there is in college athletics.
Yeah.
It really is mind-numbing.
It is. 913-3810-810. One more thing on the Royals before we go to the phones. Can we talk about MacArthur? Like, I mentioned that he had gave up a run in each of his first 3 appearances. No offense to you know, take a shot at a guy who's been fired and was gone more than a year ago. But does anybody think Cal Eldred would have fixed whatever was the problem within 3 days? Could we at least utter the name Brian Sweeney? As the starting pitching's been great, and the bullpen struggles that were pronounced and a real problem early on have now seemingly been fixed with 18 straight scoreless innings out of the bullpen. Yep.
And that's 2 guys who pitched last night who probably wouldn't have been fixed by Cal Eldred. The other being Cole Reagans.
Yes.
That's like inadvertently burying the lead there. That guy, I don't think, makes that switch under the old regime, and MacArthur probably doesn't too.
913-3810.
Either.
Yeah. 913-3810-810. Let's talk to Brad. You're in the program, Brad. What's going on, buddy?
It's exciting, man. I know you and I talked plenty. I mean, I'm always interested about the Royals and just the journey of the Royals, but I appreciate leadership always. I mean, it's a lot of what I do and get to speak to people about. And just the leadership of John Sherman. To have a vision for what this could be, and execute on it, and make some really hard decisions on some beloved people, and also take the proactive risk on setting a vision the way he wants to, and bringing in somebody from the previous regime. From the previous regime, and giving them the bandwidth to do it, and actually giving them the resources to do it. It's exciting. Like, it's exciting. It's an exciting ride. And I'm there last night. I'm a 20 game season ticket holder. I've been since 2015, and I've hardly gone to any midweek games. But last night I go, and as a business, like, I took a business friend, and I always vouch. And if I text out and just say, hey, you want to go to the Royals game tonight? You know, it'll be a good business conversation. And in recent years, nada. Like, nope. nobody's interested. And last night, the guy's like, yeah, let's do it. We get in there in the second innings, and I'm checking the pulse on the feeling of the crowd. And, like, what's the energy? Are they just here because it's great to have Major League Baseball and great to be a part of it? And the Royals got down 3-0. There was no sense of, well, this is over. Like, this is done, even with Reagan struggling. And what I found really interesting was when we came back and tied it, at least for me, the feeling I had was we're definitely going to win this game. And it's been a long time since I've had that feeling confidently. Like, as the innings go on, like 3-3, like we're going to win this game. It's just how are we going to win it? And then at the end, when Salvi comes through, it's a great feeling. I have no idea where this ride's going to go this year. No idea, but it's great to feel like it's going to be fun. It's going to be a really fun summer in Kansas City. And that's it. I'll listen off the air, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And thanks for the call, Brad. And I love what you said. Hey, you got the tickets because you're a passionate fan and you're not going to give them up. But it was a call to at least open a conversation with a client, right? Yeah. But now, client wants to go.
Yeah, and I'll second the idea of the attitude. It wasn't a big crowd, but the windows were open up there, and you could hear there was still some buzz going on, even at 2-0, even at 3-0. And when they tied the game, that's about as loud as that many people can be. So the crowd was in it all the way through the rough part, and then really took off when they were good.
Yeah, it definitely, and listen, there's time for to change. My big fear, or not my fear, because I'm not afraid of it, but my expectation of where it will lose some momentum is when the inevitable injuries do come. They've still yet to make a roster move, right?
I think you're right.
I mean, which is, listen, yeah. Every team goes through 11-game stretches where they don't make a roster move. Mm-hmm. So this is not like, oh, my God. But to start a year, usually there's the, well, we started with this guy, and, you know, we only want 4 starters, and we're going to bring somebody up. Or, frankly, a lot of times somebody's hurt. And early in the year is a time when a lot of guys get hurt. And look at the pitching injuries. Oh, and God, that is going to hit the Royals as well, because throwing a baseball 95 miles an hour puts wear and tear on the body, and you're going to break down.
Just look at a picture of someone in mid-throw. You're like, yeah, that's not supposed to happen.
If Alec Marsh, you know, pulls an oblique, who starts? Like, that's the – I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but, like, I think you should embrace this and enjoy it as long as you can. But it's not Daniel Lynch, because he sucks right now in the minor leagues. Right. And I haven't looked since Sunday – so maybe he had a brilliant start Monday or Tuesday.
Someone threw a gem.
Oh, maybe it was him.
It wasn't him.
Okay.
Bolin. I think Bolin's coming off of a.
And Jonathan Bolin has always been. He was the 5th of the 5 guys taken in that Brady Singer draft. He's always looked more like a reliever, that he was eventually going to transition back to the bullpen. Maybe he's got the pitches. Maybe they've got the guys that are giving him the repertoire, and he's going to make it up as a starter. So I hope so. But right now, my fear is I don't see what you lock and load. Nick Prado can come up and play defense. Nick Prado's numbers at the minor leagues, if Vinny Pascantino's shoulder's not healthy, his minor league numbers look like a guy who's been told, stop striking out. And he's brought the strikeouts down, which has got a good batting average and on base, but not any power. And so I don't see right now the in-house help if somebody goes down.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see them trade every piece of farm system to sustain a long shot run this year. Now, continue to play 636 baseball. We continue to have Reagans look great and Lugo look great. We mentioned a number of the starting pitchers had upside. Continue to do that. It will start to be more and more a team that looks more like not just one that might back ass to a division title in a terrible division, but might be a real playoff team with a real chance to knock somebody, you know, off their feet in the playoffs. Continue to do that. MJ Melendez is going to be a 28 home run guy. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to chase 40-40. You know, then when you start to go, okay, this is a real team, right? Right now, they're off to a good start, but they got to stay healthy. Now, they're a young team, and younger teams are healthier than older teams. Like, set your watch. Giancarlo Stanton will be hurt in 5, 4, 3, 2. Like, that's coming for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're off to a good start. Great. Aaron Judge is beyond 30 and 6 feet 7 inches tall and 285 pounds and playing center field. Like, he's not playing 155.
That's not sustainable.
Give that man a first base glove.
What are you waiting on?
Yes.
6'7", 285
put to you in center field. And, oh, by the way, we're going to try to get you to 50 steals this year, too.
But Stanton DHs.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
By the way, just to put a pitching line on Bolin's last outing a couple days ago, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, no walks, 10 Ks.
Wow.
87 pitches, 61 strikes at Omaha.
So you're saying him in my fantasy league, and yes, we're way late to have our auction. But when we have it on Friday and Saturday, I don't know which day's AL and which one's NL, I should go for Bolin in my minor league draft part of the auction?
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I know so little about what it would be to be good at that, the strategy and being good at
You were
at
the
that.
Auctioneer for like a decade.
All I was good at was counting.
And wishing he wasn't
there.
I had
no idea how much to spend.
Early on, he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But he hated it at the end, yes. Like,
The worst one was when we did both the same day, and in between I watched Missouri lose an Elite Eight game.
To Connecticut, yeah.
Yeah. In the snow. Yeah. Is there snow piled up outside?
In April.
That's a good day. Yeah.
It was great.
That was a great day.
913-3810-810. Let's get Bill in here. You're in the program, Bill. What's going on?
Hello. I always enjoy your program. I tune in about 2 o'clock almost every day.
Thank you.
But I have one bone to pick, I guess.
Uh-oh.
I can say. Talking about the Helms Foundation titles yesterday.
Yeah.
John Wooden once said that the title that meant the most to him was the 1932 Purdue Helms Foundation title. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you could give it a little more thought that it might be worth something.
Let me ask you this, Bill. It is worth something. I just don't think it should be counted as a championship by a school. But it's certainly worth something. I mean, somebody went back and took the time and effort to research and try to come up with the team that they think is the best. But why do you care what I think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I thought I could hear you.
Bill, you made my day. First of all, that really does make me feel good because you care about my opinion and you'd like me to share your opinion. And I'll bet you and I, if you listen all the time, share a lot of opinions. I don't think we're going to share this one. It's not irrelevant. I just think a program as storied, like to me, it's something my Syracuse program would do. We have one title. And we won, you said two? I thought we only had one, but two Helms titles, Curtis?
We have two.
That's something we would do, right? Trying to make ourselves sound like we're KU. We're not. We're pretty good. We've been a pretty good basketball program. Pretty damn good. We were top 10 in wins. I don't know if we were 6 or 7 or something like that. We've got some real things to beat our chest about. And I hear Syracuse fans, and they do some things like that to try to act like we're up there with the blue, but we're not. We're not, and like for KU, I think I hear it, and it's like there's so many great things about the Kansas program that it's accomplished, but like one of the things that I think chaps KU fans rear end is like UConn has 6. Because trust me, it drives me bat crap crazy that UConn has 6. Because I love UConn. And I know how much I hated it to see them win a championship before we did. And I've hated everyone that's come after it even more because they continue to put distance between me and them. But when you get a chance to root for a program that has a reason to say they're the best program that's ever been, and Kansas fans have that reason, they can make that argument. I'm not saying you'd win in a court of law, but you can make it. I understand that it would be frustrating. You know, if somebody's like, well, that doesn't count. I think there is an insecurity out of the Kansas basketball program and fandom that they haven't won more titles. Because everything else points to, because they've been infinitely more successful in the regular season, in getting to the tournament, in winning conference titles, in getting to the second weekend, in getting to the third weekend than UConn ever dreamed of being. Yet UConn has 2 more championships. And I can understand, but I just think the thing that really started this several years ago was the video before the games that counts that championship. I don't even care that you hang the banners. That's cute. It's your house. Paint it whatever the hell color you want. Who the hell am I to say what color you're going to paint the house? Put out whatever banner you want up there. But for me, it just seems a little cheesy for as great as that program is.
Okay, well, they count all the mythical national football championships.
That's a fair. I mean, they did used to not decide it on the field. So, Bill, that's a fair point. It is a fair point. But do you see anybody, when you think of who's the best football franchises in NFL history, in your mind right now, who do you
think are the
me? Yeah.
I guess the Packers are the best. Yeah.
Really? Oh, well, then.
10 championships.
Well, I'll shut up then. You didn't go where I thought you'd go, Bill. Well played. I thought you'd be like, oh, the Patriots, you know, the Steelers, the Cowboys. I'd be, yeah, that's all based on Super Bowls. And most people don't look at it like you, Bill, but at least you're consistent. I appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you. You know, that's consistent. If you remember Curly Lambeau and all those titles, then I respect, Bill, you, like in the Helms Trophy, more than I do somebody else who would tell me when it fits the Chiefs that they're better than the Packers because they've won more Super Bowls than the Packers. Right? Then you better not turn around and say, but the Helms Trophies count.
Right.
And you're consistent. I'll give you that, Bill. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Petro, Siebel, Dravetta with you. Coming up in our next hour, we'll play the feud. Does intern Jockey have what it takes to get a win? I don't know. We're going to find out. We're also going to hear some Mike Dana, maybe hear from the Royals Clubhouse as well. A little program sounds as Todd Lebo is out today. Sam McDowell, Blair Kirchhoff still to come here in the program. I'm going to assume this is Theodore, right? Or God bless you if it's Theodore, but I think there's a missing H there. Theodore, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Seren. How are you today?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
You know, I'm excited about this Royals team. You know, I watch every year. I watch the 100 losses. I'm excited about this, you know. But I've called, well, first of all, this whole thing about wait till Massey gets here, wait till Massey gets here is driving me crazy because Massey is not going to be the one that's going to come into second base and do whatever, more than Frazier's doing, if you're asking me.
He's got more pop, and he's got ceiling. Right, Adam Frazier is what he is. I don't think you're not going to get a breakout 25 home run season. And I think for Massey, we still don't know what the back of his baseball card is going to say he is because he's still riding it. So I hear you. I can tell you there are people, I hear a lot of people outside the Royals organization that are like very iffy. Inside the Royals organization, I don't think they feel like Michael Massey's about to be Ryan Sandberg. You sound like you might be of my ilk and know that. Not going to be Jose Altuve, but I think they feel like he might be a 20 home run hitting second baseman with an above average glove. Last year he showed to be average defensively, but in the minors he won a lot of defensive awards. So if he can be an above average glove and give you 15 to 20 home runs, but you know he's got to get the on base up. Then you get excited. But I don't think the Royals feel like they've got a guy that's going to be a star. But if he can be 15 to 20 home runs with above-average defense and you can play him there for 5 years at below the average cost of a second baseman, then that's a win for the team.
Well, I agree. You know, but like you and I in the past have gone through this about, like, let's go around the whole lineup and see, okay, are these guys – I don't think this team is going to go to the World Series. I think they have a chance to go to the playoffs. But are we talking about championship players at each position, though? You know, that's – and let's see if we can do it this year. But if that's not, then that's got to move on.
I'm with you on that. Let me ask you this. And the answer is no, because I don't see the championship players – like, Nelson Velasquez roaming around the outfield does not say championship to me. But – neither did necessarily Nori Aoki, and they were playing for a world championship and almost won it in 14 with him in right field. And then the remains of Armando Rios in right field. I'm with you in the sense that you can't have five of those guys, but I don't know that anybody's got nine deep where everybody's what you'd call a championship player. Some of them are just professional players. Can Massey be a professional player? Can Drew Waters be a professional player? Can Nelson Velasquez be a professional defender? I think he can be a professional hitter, but I think he needs to be part of some kind of DH. Can MJ Melendez be a professional outfielder? I agree with you, and I'm going to let you go, Theodore. Thanks for the call, buddy. I think it's a very good point. And I don't hear everybody hyping Massey. But I hear optimism for Massey. And listen, we are starting, it's early, to answer some questions to the positive when, is MJ Melendez a professional hitter? Starting to look that way. The exit velocity last year, his ability to take a walk last year looked good, and it's growing this year. Defensively, we haven't seen any of the, you know, clown car stuff out there. Velasquez is shaky out there, but man, that bat looks real. His batting eye looks real. You know, so I think we are starting to get some answers. Does it all fit together for a championship club? Not yet. But we're starting to get more yeses than we had last year, more yeses than we had in spring training for sure.
All right, born on this date, two-time All-Star first baseman Bob Watson. What major league milestone did he achieve? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.